Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are talking about the recent budget speech. We're doing a budget speech review. If you've listened, a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to the team at PwC the day after the budget speech was actually given out, and that was quite a comprehensive review that we did. Especially from an economic and tax point of view. But for today, we're sort of looking at it from a more consumer and ordinary South African perspective. You know, do people actually care? Because it's really, you know, one of the dangers that we might get into, you know, as economists, as people following the economy and stuff like that, is sort of getting into an echo chamber of some sort where you think, you know, everyone is paying attention to what the finance minister is saying. And definitely, the things that came out of the budget speech have a huge bearing, you know, on the currency, on ratings agencies and stuff like that. But do ordinary South Africans actually care? So we are joined by Matt Close, who is the chief financial officer of Comparishow, and they actually came out with one of their latest survey, just putting the spotlight on the budget speech. And there were some interesting results that actually came out of that. I'm just trying to look for one of the big numbers that really, you know, just stuck out to me, to say that there are actually a number of people, about 39% of the respondents that took part, were not even aware that the budget speech was even happening. You know, does this mean that South Africans don't care, or is it apathy? What is it? Matt, greetings to you.
Good day, Mudiwa. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
So I think a good place for us to start, you know, do South Africans care about the budget speech?
That's a great question to ask. And as you rightly say, you know, we focus very much on engaging with South Africans from all walks of life, the ordinary South African, as you put it, to try and understand, you know, do they even care about the contents of the budget speech. And as you said, sort of 39% of people that we surveyed were actually unaware the speech was happening. And following on from that, you know, our survey showed that 43% said the budget will have no impact on their lives whatsoever.
That's actually very interesting, especially that last number. That's very, I don't know what the word is, but that's very, it's alarming to me. Right, simply because whatever pronouncements the finance minister does make do have a bearing, you know, on our lives in one way or another. So to think that, you know, close to a half of respondents don't think it will have a bearing on their lives, it's a little bit scary.
It is a little bit. At first, I agree. I was quite surprised. You know, you think, as you say, these are, you know, big important issues that affect the economy as a whole. I think when we dig a little deeper, you know, then it starts to make a bit more sense to me. When if you look at key factors like the change, you know, in income tax brackets, you know, that 5% shift there, actually the number of South Africans that actually pay income tax is quite small. And when you think that the majority of South Africans don't pay income tax, well, then, you know, it's understandable that many South Africans just assume or think, look, this doesn't really affect me in my personal lives. I think it's perhaps less so on the apathy front and more so on just the genuine, you know, these are big political macro issues. And for me and my life and my job, or my lack thereof, if I don't have a job, you know, it's not really going to affect me in the short run, at least.
So would we say that, I guess, you know, from the explanation that you've just given, that are we saying that South Africans are, you know, I guess, generally apathetic? I guess I'm asking if you guys have done similar type of, you know, surveys in the past to maybe compare, or would you say the current mindset is just because of the current situation that people are jaded because of what's going on right now?
I think you captured it well there. I think people are quite jaded with what's going on now. You know, one of the other questions we asked were, you know, do you have confidence in the minister's ability to actually make the budget work and actually make this budget, you know, have a material change? And they're, again, quite scary, sort of 54% of people saying they're skeptical, you know. And whether that's the fact that no minister could pull us out of sort of the quagmire that we're in, or whether it's just a lack of belief in the current finance minister, I tend to think it's the former. It's that, people just believe we're in a bit of a tough situation at the moment, as the whole world is. The COVID-19 pandemic has made it very tough for governments all over the world to sort of regenerate, reinvigorate economies. And I think when South Africans consider this and consider where we are, there's reason to be a bit skeptical that, the current budget or any changes will have a meaningful impact on people's day-to-day lives.
Perhaps as a way to bring some context to the survey that you guys have done and some of the factors that you guys are actually taking note of and some of the findings. As compare show, what is your interest in terms of actually finding this information out, and what does the company actually do?
Great question, Madiba. So yes, Comparisure, we're a technology company, technology business focused on the insurance sector. What we have built is conversational commerce technology. So if you think chatbots and technology like that, focused on selling insurance products. So in a nutshell, you'll click on an ad. Most of our ads are on social media, and that, instead of sending you to a website or a call center, initiates a conversation with our chatbot, where the chatbot then guides you through the process of, finding the best deal for you, understanding your family, your needs, and finding you, a great deal on insurance. So that's sort of our technology. We then thought, let's use this technology to actually understand what South Africans do, think about topical issues, and use that information to try and have a meaningful impact on sort of public discourse, as well as, what's actually happening. Another interesting example, recently we surveyed South Africans around the vaccine. There's a lot of talk around needing to reach herd immunity and do we have enough vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. But we thought, do South Africans even want to take the vaccine? And the results there were quite startling. But that's another topic. But there, then we thought, okay, great. Now we've got these results. Let's try and engage with government, with private sector, with, the right institutions to provide educational material, to provide sort of, training using our chatbot to help people make an informed decision. So that's sort of our agenda at the moment, trying to see, can we use this technology to engage with the public at large at scale, via social media, via platforms that are easy and intuitive, and then try and, get some good to come out of it all.
Okay, cool. some of the things that some of the findings that you guys are talking about, and even the vaccine, it's out of, the realm of the budget speech where we began the conversation, but it also, I guess, give some insight into what the mindset of South Africans are looking like. Just out of interest, just to put some of our minds at ease. When you guys conducted the survey, how was it actually conducted? Like, who were you targeting? How did you guys pick that type of thing?
The surveys run over social media predominantly. That's where most South Africans spend a lot of their time online, so on Facebook, on Instagram. And then, we ran sort of call to actions where we invited people to share their opinion, to share what they think. We found people love sharing, their opinions on these sort of topical issues. And there were no restrictions on who we engaged with. So, the surveys run across young, old, male, female, getting quite a broad range of South Africans, several thousand people that have chatted to us, on each topic that we've run. So pretty representative, we feel, of the broader South African demographic.
Okay, cool. Were there any other items that I guess struck you as I guess interesting, weird, or strange from the findings?
Definitely. The one powerful thing with the technology is you gather so much data and you can sort of cross-sit, cross-analyze the data. And one of the questions we asked people was, how do you feel about the direction of the economy? Extremely positive, positive, neutral, negative. And overall, the South Africans were roughly split. So 50% sort of being positive, 50% negative. However, when we dug a bit deeper and looked into the responses by age, it was quite interesting. So South Africans under 40 around 42% of those South Africans were actually very positive about the economy, versus South Africans over 40, only 19% were positive about the economy. So to me, that tells a great story that, you know, the youth in South Africa, the younger generation, are indeed quite optimistic and hopeful about the fact that, you know, we're doing a lot of great things in South Africa. You know, a lot of great institutions, a lot of exciting businesses coming out of South Africa. And it was great, we felt, to see that the younger generation of South Africa sort of reflecting that positive sentiment.
And I guess digging a little bit deeper into that age, you know, that age factor, are there any correlations that you sort of find between, I guess, different age groups, their economic standing, and their, I guess, awareness of what's going on in the larger or greater economy?
Yes, so I think there were some interesting correlations. I think that one that I sort of mentioned there being the most interesting to us, the most positive. You know, some of the other questions as well, sort of around, you know, what was the biggest financial decision purchase and you made last year? A lot of younger people saying, you know, they were able to buy their first home last year, which, you know, was also quite encouraging when you think, you know, there are opportunities out there, interest rates are low. So there's, you know, there's a lot of positive pockets within certain groups, within certain age groups and socioeconomic statuses. But yeah, I think overall, you know, South Africans generally tend to be hopeful and positive. And it was nice for us to actually see that coming through in the data that we collected.
So as a technology company and as a fintech operator, when you guys are getting all of this information, what do you guys, does it feed in any way into any of the modeling that you guys do when it comes to offering your own products? You know, you said that one of the big things that you guys are doing is giving people access to some of the best in terms of cost-effective insurance and stuff like that. Do any of these surveys feed into any of that modeling? I don't know.
Very insightful question. And the answer is definitely yes. It depends on the nature of the survey being asked, so, or the engagements running with users. Sometimes it'll be purely for interest's sake, you know, gathering stats, seeing if we can use that information. Other times we will use it to try and offer people, you know, the great, great products that I mentioned. So, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, we did some awareness campaigns. Do you know what COVID-19 is? Do you know what the signs and symptoms are? You know, spreading that awareness, helping users come to understand everything. And then sort of that conversation, the chatbot then took users towards the questioning of, you know, are you worried about your finances? Do you have everything in order? Have you got the following products? You know, maybe we can help you find a good deal. So very much to your point of feeding the info into the models and the conversations we run, you know, when it makes sense, we definitely do, you know, try and ask and guide users towards helping them get, you know, a great product that matches their needs.
Okay, no, that's fine. I think, you know, as we sort of get into trying to round up the discussion, I want to zoom out a little bit to maybe get a sense from you, because you guys do, you know, have a technology platform, you're looking at insurance and things like that. Are there any interesting trends in the, you know, because, you know, this whole discussion is about trends, but looking at insurance specifically, are there any interesting trends that you guys are seeing at the moment, pandemic, non-pandemic, all of that, that you know, people either should either be aware of or that you guys just find interesting?
Definitely. One of the most interesting trends we saw was sort of an increased digital adoption from South Africans, from users, from the man in the street, and then also from insurers. The analogy we use, I mean, is Zoom. Zoom is a great example, the Zoom effect, as we call it. You know, we didn't use the technology before the pandemic. Then we were forced to use it because of the pandemic. And now we've realized, hey, this is actually a much better way of doing business. It simplifies our lives. It makes things so much easier. And we'll never go back to the old way, not completely anyway. And we've seen sort of a similar mentality from consumers, where perhaps they were much more used to going into branches, but, you know, doing things physically. Then the pandemic forced them to go online, something they would never have done before, perhaps due to their age or their, you know, custom or just wanting to see things tangibly. But now they've actually realized, wow, this is a great way to buy insurance, to do things, to get my affairs in order. And we haven't seen a dip back down. You know, lockdown level one now is in place. People can go back to all the things they were sort of doing before, but we're seeing that digital sort of stickiness, people sticking to these new digital channels, which we believe will really help a lot with, you know, opening up access to quality products. It was always a barrier before. People were a bit hesitant, but now they were forced to try, you know, new digital ways of doing things. And we really believe that, you know, it'll stick and it'll benefit the consumer and, you know, the South African economy as a whole as well.
Okay, cool. And I think one of the ones that, you know, I'm particularly interested in is, you know, you look at, I look at it from the point of view of what's going on with the mobile operators, because mobile operators, whether you're looking at Vodacom, MTN and Telkom recently, they're all now sort of getting into financial services, and one of the big ones that, you know, they all seem to be getting into is insurance, especially, you know, in other parts of Africa. And the common story we hear is that South Africa has, you know, a very mature insurance industry, and that, you know, the rest of the continent, there's this big opportunity, especially for micro insurance and things like that. So from your view, is South Africa as a country, as a population, as consumers, are we over or underinsured?
It's a very interesting question, and I think the answer is multifaceted. You know, we, as you say, sort of penetration levels in South Africa versus the rest of Africa are very high. So in that sense, South Africa's done a great job of, you know, promoting the right insurance products to certain people. The challenge, though, is then also, if you dig a bit deeper, what type of insurance do people actually have? So a great example in the South African context is funeral cover. You know, funeral insurance is a very well understood product in our country. There's a strong cultural need for a dignified funeral, and therefore, you know, a lot of people have funeral cover. But taking it a step further, you know, what happens after that? What happens after the funeral? The breadwinner has now moved on. There we see, you know, chronic levels of underinsurance on the life insurance side. So, you know, actual larger sums assured that can, you know, sustain the family into the future. So there, you know, big challenge is still to make sure people, you know, yes, you need your funeral cover, but actually you need life cover to go with that and to enhance, you know, to protect your families and your legacy. So I think, you know, big opportunity to use technology, to use this digital wave, to continue, you know, pushing that, to ensure that South Africans of all walks of life, you know, poor, old, young, rich, have the right cover and the right sort of products to look after themselves.
Okay, cool. I think that's it, you know, from our end. As we end off, your outlook just in terms of where the economy is and where it's going. We started off this conversation talking about the budget, where consumers stand, how they're feeling, you know, etc. And now we've just, you know, sort of gone into the weeds a little bit about what's going on in the insurance industry. So from, you know, your vantage point, I guess, an outlook either for the economy or for the insurance industry?
Yeah, from our perspective, you know, we see a lot of opportunity in South Africa and the rest of Africa. What has always been a challenge in the past was, you know, distributing products, getting products to people's hands. It used to be done, you know, by face-to-face advisors. And now, you know, the technology has been there. Websites have been there for a long time. But now the technology, you know, has gone a step further and been matched by sort of a change in consumer behavior, with people going online more than ever before. So in terms of the insurance sector's, you know, potential and outlook going forward, you know, we at Comparisure remain very optimistic and very positive about the way that that is all shaping up going forward.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Matt. We really appreciate, you know, you being with us. That was Matt Close, who is the Chief Financial Officer at Comparisure, giving us some insight into what they're doing, you know, in terms of their business. You know, it's a technology business that helps people to find, you know, some of the best in terms of, you know, insurance deals. But we started off the conversation with a survey that they did around the budget speech, whether people care or do not care about what the finance minister had to say. And even though this is something that has a huge bearing on people's lives, there are some scary statistics that were coming through from their findings. Almost half of the people, about 43%, if I remember correctly, saying that they didn't think that it would have a bearing on their lives. And almost an equal, you know, proportion of people, about 39%, saying they didn't even know that this thing was happening. Matt, just explaining that a lot of South Africans are jaded at the moment because things are just tough. And then ending off the discussion, talking about the state of insurance in South Africa compared to other, you know, parts of the world. Are we over or underinsured? And he says that, you know, it's a very dynamic question and one has to look, you know, deep down into, you know, firstly, are people insured and what type of cover do people have and what are the socioeconomic factors that actually go into it? You might have a family that has high life cover, but if the breadwinner sort of passes on, then that changes the dynamic of life cover in that family. So that's been it. Matt, thank you so much for being with us.
Madiba, thanks very much. Great discussion, and thank you for having me on the show.
This is Madiba's Take.
A very fascinating discussion with Comparishow. I think it's very evident that people are going through the most. I think that's a good way to put it. But more importantly, that there's a lot of things that we can do and create somewhat of an echo chamber, let's say, as either economists, economics nerds, etc., and that you sort of think that everyone is paying attention to what's going on in and around the economy, South Africa, what a finance minister has to say and stuff like that. But, you know, more importantly, it's also just that awareness that South Africans, like I said, are going through the most, and that a lot of these things, people are more concerned about bread and butter issues as opposed to something that seems abstract. You know, if we say that the country is going to, let's say, collect 1.3 trillion rand, and that there's going to be a 300 to 400 billion rand deficit in terms of collection and stuff like that, the normal person on the street who has just lost their job when it comes to COVID-19 but is still looking to provide for their family, and you know, a lot of their life plans and goals have been a bit destroyed, chances are they're not going to be paying attention to some of those signals because they're just worried about, how do I put food on the table today? How do I feed my family today? How do I put clothes on our backs? And I think it was a very enlightening conversation to have with the Comparishow, but more importantly, just that awareness to say that it's not everyone who's sitting and paying attention to some of these things. As important as they are, when it comes to priorities, most of the time our priorities are determined by how much we can actually afford to pay attention to some of these things, like a budget speech. If I have the ability to sit for 2 hours in front of the TV, right, and listen to what the finance minister has to say, it's completely different from someone who looks at that same 2 hours and says, I could be out hustling, I could be out doing something, I could be out earning a living, I could be out making some money. These are the realities. And then at the same time, it's just the fact that outside of those things, people, you know, might just not care about some of these things. As I said, you think about what's in your locus, what's in your immediate vicinity, what you have to deal with on a daily basis, and then you take it forward from there. So we just hope that South Africa does get to a stage where we start, you know, getting that growth and getting more people employed, getting more people to care about some of these issues, getting more people to be taken care of on the bread and butter front, so that we can all be united when it comes to actually understanding where the country is going and what the plan plan is going to be. But until we are able to solve some of those issues, then we're going to continue seeing some of this apathy coming through. It only makes sense. People will care only so much as they can afford to care. I think that's the way that I can think about it, you know, just from a human point of view. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can find and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.